Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll tackle the challenging world of performance evaluation. Andy, one of the ideas we talk a lot about on the podcast is the importance of evaluation. And today we're going to talk about a new approach to one of, I think, the most difficult types of evaluation, and that's the employee performance review.
Yes, the dreaded employee performance review. We hate giving them. We certainly hate sitting down on the other side of them. The thing that sparked today's conversation is a few months ago, we just had a discussion about the fact we feel like at certain levels in our organization, our approach wasn't working, specifically at the in the area of upper management, the level where you and I run and work with people that we see just about every day, and yet we're responsible for the behavior. So I sat down and wrote down four or five questions. Actually, we ended up with five that we use all the time. And this was an attempt to formalize five questions that would not necessarily replace the performance review at every level of the organization. Yeah. But I think in our organization, this will replace the performance evaluation at the upper end of our organization. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about these things. And again, maybe free up some people from that dreaded pressure and maybe more importantly, to take what can quickly become an antiquated routine, we're forced to do this, we know we ought to do this, practice and bring some greater meaning to it.
And Andy, these questions are really more designed to elicit feedback rather than, well, great performance.
Yeah. Specifically, I call them permission-giving questions because they really open up a dialogue with managers and direct reports around things that we know we need to talk about. But instead of going through a formalized process where I've got to check boxes and fill in blanks and turn it in to say I did it, these are more conversational. And as we're going to see at the end, these are really more in the moment, on the go, things that you can blend into conversations. At the end, again, I'm going to give some specifics about how to use these questions. And I don't think any of these are unique. In fact, one of these questions we talk about a good bit on our leadership podcast. But again, as we've put these five questions out with our upper level management, everybody sort of breathes a sigh of relief like, yeah, this seems like a much healthier and a much more intuitive and primarily a much more relational approach to making sure we're current in our conversations, current with the tensions in the organization, and current in terms of just performance evaluation.
Andy, you call these permission-giving questions. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things we don't want in our organization is people sitting on things that they don't have any opportunity to talk about. And all of us, I know for me, I worked in two organizations where I had things I wanted to talk about, but nobody ever asked the question. And when we did performance evaluation, what happened was they evaluated my performance. Mm-hmm. They never evaluated my experience. And I, not my work experience, my experience in the organization.
Right.
And there were some things I wanted to talk about that I was experiencing in the organization, but a performance review doesn't surface those. And yet what we've discovered, and I think what all of our listeners understand, is sometimes that is what needs to be discussed, not simply performance, but what are you experiencing, mm-hmm. because certainly it impacts performance. So again, we don't want people sitting on things they don't have an opportunity to talk about. These five questions allow us to talk about some of those things. Also, certain leaders' personalities are all business, and so what happens is in the review process, it's all business. And again, it's not as personal as it should be. For some leaders, they go personal pretty quick because that's just the nature of their personality. Mm-hmm. But for other leaders, when they get in evaluation mode, it's all business, answer the questions, our evaluation time is over, let's all go back to work. So these questions, I feel like, create the relational space and the margin that's needed sometimes to talk about the things that just don't get talked about in a traditional performance review.
Andy, I think we've all known some people who the last thing they need is permission.
Yeah. Well, again, you have employees who, because of their personalities, they're extroverts. Regardless of what you ask them,
right,
they're gonna start talking,
yeah,
and
exactly.
you're gonna get this information out of them. But again, for some people, especially if they've not been in the organization very long, mm-hmm. they don't know where the guardrails are. They don't know what kind of latitude they have in guiding or adding to a discussion. So again, these questions, surface some of those things. And the other thing, and this will make more sense as we get into the questions. Mature leaders and mature employees, they don't want to whine. They don't want to complain. And they understand they don't want to be labeled a whiner or a complainer.
Yeah.
So when they bump into something that they do need to bring to our attention, they're looking for an avenue to bring it up without appearing to be a whiner or a complainer. So these questions create that relational context and the discussion context where those things can surface. And again, as every leader listening knows, We want to know what those things are. We do not want great people sitting on things that we need to know about in order to make their experience better and make our organizations better.
Andy, before we jump into the questions, I just want to make the point and get you to comment on it. This is not a replacement for all traditional employee evaluations. This is more an and, not an in place of.
Yeah, and what we've discovered is formal measuring tools, performance measuring tools, are generally most helpful in task-oriented jobs versus jobs where an employee carries responsibility. So one of the things we bumped into, the traditional performance evaluation really lends itself toward people who are doing specific things and people that we don't have daily or weekly interaction with. Mm. The performance review forces conversations that generally don't take place. Whereas in upper-level management, you're oftentimes seeing these people every day, every single week. So then right. When you sit down with this very formal approach, it doesn't even fit within the conversational style or the day-to-day interaction that you already have with these people. So this really is more for upper-level management. And again, as you said, it is not an instead of. This is an and.
Okay, well then let's get to these five questions. The first one is, what are you most excited about right now?
This is a great question because for most of us, or many of the people in our organization, they have a passion about something that's part of their job description but may not be primary in their job description. So when you ask the question, you know, what are you excited about right now, what you're going to do is you're going to discover pretty quickly what they are most passionate about among the list of things that you've asked them to do. This is the question that kind of lights people up. As we know, you're going to get the best out of people when they're spending the majority of their time in something they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And when an individual has both passion and a skill set, everybody wins. So by asking the question, hey, before we go or before we move on or before we get to the agenda, hey, what are you most excited about right now? Again, that's a question probably everybody in an organization would love somebody to ask them because, again, in some cases they think, if I could give more time to this, it would help me and the organization. If I could allot more resources to something I'm working on, it would help the organization. But where do you talk about that if somebody doesn't ask about it? So, again, this allows a person to communicate to us, hey, this is what I would love to spend more time on, and here's why I think it would be – you know, it would be great if you give me more opportunity to spend more time on that.
You had an example of this just recently in our organization, right?
Yeah. About 3 or 4 months ago, we do these 3-month and 1-year evaluations we've talked about on our podcast before, where everybody that comes to work for us, they get to evaluate their experience with us formally in a set of questions I send them. So one of our employees, he sent back, he had been here a year, and in his 1-year evaluation where we're asking him questions about his experience here, there was a lot in there. He had a lot of questions about our social media strategy. And I had seen other people reference our social media strategy or what they perceived as our lack of a social media strategy. But this guy, these seemed to be very informed questions. So I brought him in. I said, hey, tell me what you mean. Well, in this discussion, he lit up. He lit up around the idea of a social media strategy. He was able to answer my questions specifically. But social media strategy is not or was not a part of his job description. But it was something he was giving time to on his own because he's passionate about it and he realized it could certainly help the division or department he was working in. Well, as a result of that, we pulled him out of that position and he has a different job here now. And that transition happened not because he was complaining or whining, but simply because we gave him an opportunity to tell us, hey, here's something I know a lot about, here's something I'm passionate about, and we followed up, you know, on that evaluation. So again, these are the kinds of questions that allow great people to talk about what they're most excited about. And again, as a leader, it's a loss for us if we don't know what those things are.
All right. That was, what are you most excited about right now? The second question is, what do you wish you could spend more time on?
This question allows us to discover if we've accidentally created a job description that has pushed somebody out of their sweet spot. Mm. Again, if they had more time, they could do more of what they're best at. Mm-hmm. But again, how do they tell us that? They're just so happy to be working here. Again, they love the organization. But if you want to know what I'm most frustrated about, I'm most frustrated that you hired me to do X, but I'm spending most of my time doing Y, but I think I'm really better at X. Well, again, as a manager, division director, department director, you know, I want to know that. I may not be able to do anything about it right now, but I certainly – it doesn't benefit me not to know that or not to have that information.
All right. Let's move on to the third question. It's, What's most challenging?
This question allows people to tell us, you know what, I don't have what I need to do my job. This has nothing to do with my job description. This has to do perhaps with the tools I need. This has to do with the fact that, you know what, to really do a good job, I really need to hire someone. And I realize you've told me I can't hire someone. But since you're asking me what's most challenging, what's most challenging is I'm doing the work of three people. I'm doing the work of four people. This is when a person has permission to look outside their specific environment to say, well, what's most challenging is – you know, research and development, what's most challenging is I can't get the business office to. What's most challenging is, you know, you haven't been clear in your directive. So again, nobody wants to whine. Nobody wants to complain. But hey, if you want to know what's most challenging, here's what's most challenging. And again, sometimes we can do something about it immediately, but certainly we need to do something about it eventually. So again, this is not sometimes this is a question that's not answered within a department or division. They step back a little bit and say, well, here's what's most challenging because of things I really have no control over. And one of the reasons this is an important question is in a traditional evaluation, all we talk about is the job performance of the person sitting in front of us. Unfortunately, sometimes a person's job performance is impacted by things they have no control over. But if we don't give them an opportunity to talk about that, if we don't, again, surface the possibility there may be things that we've not addressed, we don't know about, that they have no control over, again, we grade them in terms of their performance, and yet all the factors aren't part of the discussion. So the question, what's most challenging, allows them to say, well, since you ask, you know, I could do a better job if, and then we discover some things perhaps about the organization. Last thing on this. What I've discovered as people answer this question, the answer is generally a systems problem, not a personality problem. And again, as organizations grow, we've talked about this on our podcast, as organizations grow, systems have to be adjusted. And where people, where great people feel challenged is generally not who they're working with or who they're working for. They're bumping up against systems that haven't been addressed or expanded or evaluated over time. So this is a great opportunity for us to sit back as leaders and say, wow, we may have a system that's creating an unnecessary challenge for people who've come here and have the potential to do a great job.
That leads us to the fourth question, and it's anything bugging you?
Yeah, is anything bugging you? This is a Bob Strickland question. He introduced this at our leadership team, and he worked for Scientific Atlanta and some other corporate environments and said this was always a great question he used as a manager at the end of a conversation. You know, you've kind of either not just performance review conversations, but any conversation. You've gone over the agenda. You finished up. This is a one-on-one. And you push back and you say, hey, is there anything bugging you? Now, again, this sounds similar to two of the other questions, but what we're trying to get at with this question, this is a very broad question. This can be, yeah, I'll tell you what's bugging me. There's something going on at home. Yeah, I'll tell you what's bugging me. Hey, there's a particular guy. This isn't a systems issue. If you want to know what's bugging me, see, bugging me is personal. Now we're outside systems. Now we might even be outside the organization. This is when somebody says, you know, so-and-so and I, you know, there's just a personality conflict, and he always or she always. Again, as a leader, as a manager, I want to know. So this is, again, I'm giving you permission to talk about anything you want to talk about. If there's anything negative that I can do something about, hey, is there anything bugging you? Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what's bugging me. The last three leadership team meetings, we talked about the same thing over and over. And you know, Andy, we're not doing anything about it. Yeah, I'll tell you what's bugging me. You know, so-and-so leads the meeting but never brings an agenda, and I feel like we wasted a lot of time. Okay, well, those are legitimate things. So again, if there's something that is systematic or if there's something that's personal that we can address, we want to be able to do that. So I think that's a great question. It's like the final question sometimes. It's the, hey, before we go, is there anything bugging you? And, you know, sometimes people look at you and say, no, everything's good. All right, meeting over.
And that leads us to the last question, number five. What can I do to help?
Yeah, this is a question that we've talked about before, and this is a really powerful question in organizational life. What can I do to help? And in within this context, you've just elicited feedback. These can be very emotional conversations, especially when you say what's most challenging. Again, you never know what you're going to get. So now they have entrusted information to you, organizational information, personal information. So the appropriate question is, what can I do to help? Now, the great news is, you know, most people, most leaders and most great employees, they don't want us to solve their problems. In fact, the last conversation I had where this question came up, I was talking to one of our best leaders. We'd gone through three or four agenda items. I asked one of the questions, essentially, you know, what's most challenging right now? And it led to a really healthy conversation. So as he's telling me what's most challenging, I'm thinking, what can I do to fix this? Because I'm a fixer. You know, I want to fix things. I don't want any conflict or sideways energy in the organization. So when we get to the end, I said, so how can I help? What can I do to help? And he paused and he said, well, nothing. He said, actually, I feel a lot better just having gotten this off my chest. I'm like, well, I'm glad I could help. And again, you have to be really careful because if you're a problem solver, and Lane, both you and I are both kind of problem solvers, mm-hmm. the tendency is to get on the phone, to text somebody, to let's do something about this. In right. many cases, people aren't asking for help. We've just asked for information, mm-hmm. and we should not assume there's something for us to do. But it's always helpful to end the conversation with, now that we've talked about this, is there anything I can do to help, or what can I do to help?
Andy, as you said earlier, we're in the process of implementing these five questions into our organization. What are some tips for really how to use them best?
Well, first of all, these are one-on-one questions. You don't want to ask eight people what's bugging you because what's bugging them may be sitting next to them,
exactly.
okay? So again, these are within the context of one-on-one conversations. Secondly, and I bet some of our leaders were thinking this is not a list that you go through. In fact, I can't imagine asking all five of these questions in one conversation because there's not enough time. Again, you, unlike a performance review, you are asking them to share their experience within the organization. So these are paragraphs of answers. So don't think in terms of a list. Just pick one or two of these that you know, that you sort of just drop into the conversation as you're meeting with your direct reports. And then the other thing that may be helpful, and in the conversation that I just referenced, this was the case. Sometimes it's helpful when you know you're about to do a one-on-one. Again, it may be your weekly one-on-one, the typical agenda, to email ahead of time and tell your staff member or tell your direct report, hey, when we meet, I want you to tell me, and just give them the question ahead of time. I want you to be prepared to talk about anything that you find super challenging right now. Hey, when we get together, I want to hear what you're most excited about. So give them some time to process because these are emotional conversations and emotional topics sometimes. So if they're prepared, you're probably going to get better information. Mm. But you don't want to send all five of these questions. When we get together, I want you to tell me what's most challenging, what you're most excited about. That's a little bit too formal. So giving people a heads up, you're probably going to get better response. And then number four, in terms of how to implement this, give direct reports permission to initiate these questions as well. And what I mean by that is this. As we get more and more accustomed asking these questions, I think in a healthy organization, when somebody sits down with me and we have finished our time together, they could say, hey, can I tell you something that's bugging me? Mm. Or, hey, can I tell you something that has become a real challenge for me? Or, hey, before we go, there's something I'm really excited about. So as we ask these questions, being intentional about giving people permission to initiate conversations around these questions, that just creates a great dialogue, and you have created a release valve for tension, and you give them permission for people not to whine or complain or to come across as whiners or complainers because you said, hey, I've asked you what's most challenging. You have permission to say to me, hey, can I share something with you that's a bit challenging, and they won't feel like they're complaining. So there's a two-way component to this, but I think we have to basically roll these out in our organizations and model this as managers and leaders.
All right, Andy, as we wrap up, why don't you give us all five at one time?
Yeah. The questions are, what are you most excited about right now? Number two, what do you wish you could spend more time on? Number three, what's most challenging? Number four, is anything bugging you or what's bugging you? And the fifth one is, what can I do to help?
And as we close, any final thoughts for our listeners as it pertains to these five?
Yeah, I would just say this. What we don't know can hurt us. And there are some things we will never know unless we ask. And we won't ask unless we plan to ask. And we won't plan to ask if we don't have a plan. Mm. So these five questions essentially arm us or give us a plan to ask the things that may slip through the cracks. Again, because we have great people, they don't want to whine, they don't want to complain, and everybody is busy. So to get the best out of our people and for them to get the best out of us, these are the kind of conversations we need to have. And again, this is just an approach to eliciting healthy feedback.
Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today. And thank you to our audience for listening. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.